Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Kate Spencer.
And we are not experts.
Goodness, goodness, no. But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And if you'd like to talk to us about serums, you can leave us a voicemail, shoot us a text at 781-591-0390. Or you can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/forever35podcast. And just a quick reminder that all the products we mention on this here show are always on our website, forever35podcast.com. We are also on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod.
And hey, if you like the show, we greatly appreciate reviews, positive reviews, dare I say, on Apple Podcasts. it helps people find the show, and it also helps us, not spread the show around, but it helps us to get more people excited about our show. So we really appreciate that. Thank you for taking the time to do it.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it. Hey, you know what, Kate?
Yes.
Congratulations are in order.
I don't know what you're going to say. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's so exciting. I'm talking about Kate's book.
I sold a book, and you will get to read it someday. And it was finally announced, which is very exciting. I've been vaguely referencing some writing stuff because I've known about it for a little while, but it was just officially announced last week. So yes, I wrote a book. It's got a romantic flair. It's all about New York. I don't know how this came out of my brain, but it did. So someday, spring 2022, you can read it. You, Dori Shafrir, and hopefully somebody else.
So exciting.
I'm pretty pumped because it's a goal I've had for over 10 years. And I have left a lot of half-finished manuscripts in my wake. So it was a goal of mine to finish a manuscript and then revise it and then keep going. And then it was a goal for me to try to publish it. And so I'm really, really, I'm really excited. And I get to write a second book as well as part of this deal. So look for me on your shelves. Spencer, yay, very close to the Shafrir section.
This is true.
We'll be near each other in a bookstore. And I should clarify that it is fiction that that you will be reading for me next, because my first book was a memoir. How funny how we have switched books. Your first book was fiction.
I know. I was thinking about that.
Are we just rubbing off on each other?
Look, I don't know. I mean, yes, we are.
What have we done?
I don't know, but I'm really excited for your book. Both books. I'm excited for book one and book two. And it's just it's just a cool thing, Kate.
You know, it was a very personally exciting for me, and it's been kind of bittersweet and strange to get to have this exciting thing happen at a time where there's just a lot of sadness. And it's ended up being weird. I don't know. I'll talk more about it when my book comes out, but it it's a great honor. I'm really like psyched and thrilled and honored to get to publish a book. And I will also say, Dory, I worked really hard.
You did. I remember you worked really, really hard. It was inspiring to see you work on it.
Writing is hard. Anyway, I'm grateful that this is my job. Yes.
Two more questions. What is the title of the book?
Currently, it's called In a New York Minute.
And I read the plot summary, but can you give our listeners the brief plot summary to get them excited?
I mean, this is surreal because truly I have not really talked about this at all with many people. So it feels very weird that this is a thing I can even talk about or that people will read. But it is the book kind of explores what happens when two people meet in a very viral, in a way that goes viral, but their meeting is not romantic and they don't actually like each other after that meeting. But then of course it evolves.
Enemies to lovers.
A little bit of that. And there's a lot of friendship stuff in it. And it really ended up being kind of, for me, a way for me to kind of really write all my homesickness about New York City into a book. So I didn't know it was going to be that, but that's kind of what it became. So it's a real, like, my whole, like, New York City heart is in it in a lot of ways. So,
and when will people be able to buy this at the bookstore of their choice?
Well, Dory, currently it is scheduled to be published sometime in spring 2022. But, you know, we are in the middle of a global pandemic, so who knows what will happen?
It's so true.
But let's imagine a world in which we are no longer in a pandemic and we can go to bookstores and support them with our money and touch books again.
And you can do a reading at a bookstore.
Oh, I would love it. I will push all my social anxiety aside and do so many readings.
Yes. I went to a reading of yours for the Dead Moms Club, and it was really great.
I love talking to people. It's just the lead up. I feel like I'm going to throw up forever.
What if nobody comes?
You're
an improv person. Did you get this way before improv?
I've been this way since I walked out of my mother's womb, Dory. I trotted on out. And I was an introverted extrovert who loves performing but has a lot of anxiety. It's just who I am. It's a real mess.
That's fine. I was just wondering.
Yeah, that's who I am. But anyway, you know what? Getting to chat with you just in these like brief few moments of this podcast has lifted my spirits immensely. So thank you.
Oh, yay.
Because I've been feeling in that real kind of like numb, dull, sad funk that I think is probably familiar to many people.
Yeah.
And it's just such a strange feeling. So I feel reinvigorated getting to talk to you and engage with a person.
That's so nice. I'm so glad that I could do that for you.
Thank you for your service and making me
feel
better.
You're so welcome. Well, yeah. Kate, today was Yom Kippur.
It was. As I awkwardly noted before we started our call, I didn't know.
You did.
I don't know. What does one say to another person on Yom Kippur? Like, what is the like Shabbat Shalom or like Merry Christmas? Is there even such a thing for Yom Kippur?
There is. It's, you say Gemar Chatima Tova, which is what you say between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which means a good final sealing. S-E-A-L-I-N-G, not like...
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And then some people say like have an easy fast.
I've heard that.
But full disclosure, I did not fast. Just want to get that out on the table.
Okay, I see it.
But I did go, quote unquote, to Zoom services last night and this morning, which were really, really, really nice. But I definitely, by the end, I was like, oh, I have Zoom service fatigue. And like, I got kind of sad about not being able to be there in person. Like, it's just not the same to be like singing a prayer and you're the only one singing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I do know.
I hadn't quite realized how weird that was going to be. And then to like hear my warbling, it's like me and the canter. I'm like, and not, you know, the whole congregation. So I was a little like, oh, this is a bummer. But, you know, life goes on. We Jews have certainly endured worse. So that's what I keep telling myself. We've had it worse.
I mean, you've had plagues.
We've had plagues. We've had, you know, the attempted extinction of our people. It's just, you know, we've been through a lot, and we'll get through this. You know, I'm trying to take the long view, Kate.
You are reflecting on the resiliency.
Yes.
Of humanity.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I think we can get through this. And I think that ultimately, I hope that the forces of good will prevail. And that we can prevail. So that's all.
I appreciate that take, Dory.
Thank you, Kate. Just some high holiday reflection here.
I think that's a powerful way of using the high holidays to really kind of reflect on what's going on in the world.
Yeah. And, you know, it just made me think about like Judaism historically has such a strong commitment to social justice. And that is also underpinning everything that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just been kind of reflecting on that also. And how, like, again, how we can continue to fight for what is right and to fight against the forces of evil. To put it in the vocabulary of a Marvel movie.
Or dare we say the TV show Cobra Kai.
Oh, great segue, Kate. Okay, can I just say something? Okay, now that we're done talking, now that we're done being serious, talking religion, I felt, I don't want to say judgment, but I felt a little...
Dory!
Skepticism.
No.
When I initially said that I was getting very into Cobra Kai, you were sort of like, okay.
I just made, you can't see me because we're not together, but I made a shocked and offended face. I was not. I was
really?
I didn't feel it in my soul.
Okay. Okay.
That doesn't mean I wasn't judging. Maybe there was some judgment.
But now you're on board the Cobra Kai train.
Yes. And like, let's clarify for the listeners. This is, I think, how our relationship kind of works. I don't know if you know this or picked up on this, listeners, but Dory often has an idea or says something, and I'm often like skeptical, or I'm like, let's do more thinking on it. And then like 2 weeks later, I not only come around to the idea, but I almost claim it as my own. And I'm like, why don't we do this? And Dory will always be like, that's what I said 2 weeks ago. And then we do it. So, so it goes with Cobra Kai, the TV show. The other night, Anthony and I were sitting down to watch TV, and I was like, I cannot take anything like remotely serious.
Yes, like exactly.
And I guess I don't know if I was skeptical. I mean, the reason I watched Cobra Kai is because you had made an enticing pitch and I'd heard other people talk about it. And let me just say this, you are 100% right. It is what I need right now.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm so glad to hear that. I truly am.
It is like, it's so ridiculous, but also like kind of great. I don't even
totally.
Know.
Totally.
Also like, as a middle-aged woman, I'm like hot for all the old men on it now too.
Yes. Also like, I believe I said this on the show. Maybe I said it. I said this somewhere. Ralph Macchio is 58 years old.
Jesus, he looks great.
He looks great.
Well, listen, yeah. William Zabka looks very good.
He does, and he does look his age, and he looks very good for his age.
And it's appealing.
It is. I agree. Oh, I'm with you on that.
crushes, harmless crushes on celebrities from our childhood that are now much older. Totally self-care.
Oh, I agree. How far in are you?
I think we watched three or four episodes. I think I just completed the high school dance.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. So there's much more to go, and I'm very excited that there's like a whole other season. And
Yep.
Oh, thank you. Truly thank God for this show.
We should take a break.
Let's do it.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we get to talk to Sophia.
Yes.
All right. BRB. BB. BRB, BB. Get it? Like, be right back, baby.
No, sorry.
I'll stop. Okay.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough.
I mean, Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they manage to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there, the overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a Tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
Our guest today is Sophia Herzog. Sophia, welcome to Forever 35.
Thanks for having me.
We are so thrilled you're here. We can't wait to tell listeners how we connected. But first, we would like to read your bio. Sophia Herzog was born with a form of dwarfism known as achondroplasia, which has a 1 in 26,000 chance of occurring. She is a 2016 Paralympic silver medalist in swimming. Yeah, you're going to have to explain to us what this is. The SB6 100 meter breaststroke, as well as placing sixth in the 200th IM. She is a two-time world champion in 2017 and five-time world medalist. She's a three-time national team member training in preparation for the 2020 Paralympic Games in Tokyo, Japan, which have now been postponed to 2021. And she recently graduated with a bachelor's in business communication from DeVry University. And in her free time, she enjoys painting and spending time with her rescued lab, Odie. And lastly, Sophia is a member of the Classroom Champions Mentorship Program for her fourth year and has heavy involvement with the Women's Sport Foundation. And we're so thrilled you're on our show. And as we were discussing before we started recording, you had been listening to the podcast and wrote to us with a question, and then we roped you into being a guest. So thank you for doing, thank you for saying yes.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I love listening to you guys.
Well, it's a thrill, and we will try to answer your questions to the best of our ability as we talk or open it up to our listeners to answer. But first, Sophia, could you tell us how initially did you get into swimming as a kid? And then when did it, or I believe as a teenager, and then when did it become clear to you that it was something you were going to pursue competitively and professionally?
Yeah. So I grew up in Colorado, and I grew up a competitive skier, and I was having some knee issues, so I switched over to swimming. I grew up in a really competitive family. My dad's a long distance runner and my mom's a mountain biker. So sports was a huge thing in my family. And I showed some potential in middle school era time. And I found a coach that got me involved in the Paralympics. And the rest is history.
That's so cool. What has it been like this year, like training in a pandemic, and you were so geared up to be in the 2020 Olympics and those got postponed? So how have you been kind of managing all of that?
Yeah, my pool shut down, I think, end of March. The whole city, obviously, whole country really shut down. And so I actually took 2 weeks off and I didn't do anything except sit on the couch. And then the games were postponed and I just started riding my bike for some exercise. For a while, there was no foreseeable future of when the pools would open back up. Mm. And then around June, I lived by a resort and their pool opened up. So I swam in like a hotel pool probably for a month until my pool opened back up. But between April and June, I rode a bike and I kind of just, it was my first break in over 12 years that I wasn't able to swim or I wasn't swimming at all. So it's kind of nice to do my own thing, I guess we'll call it.
What is it like emotionally for you when you're not able to get that physical exertion or not able to swim? Like, is it a welcome? I guess I've never thought about like what it is like when physical activity is also your profession. Like training is your job, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So then when you are not able to do that thing that so many of us rely on for like our mental health and our general well-being, how does it, what does it feel like to you?
Yeah, good question. It was really weird time because I wasn't working out like I'm used to. And with that, I slept a lot throughout the day just because I wasn't exercising and feeling good. And, you know, when you kind of lay on the couch all day, it's really hard to get up even though you didn't do anything. So I was kind of in that stage for a while, for a couple weeks. And then I kind of got out of it and took advantage of being able to do things that I'm not normally able to do. So like I started a garden. We adopted a dog. I was able to put my energy into some other ways, but I was actually more exhausted not working out than when I was working out really hard.
That's interesting. I'm curious about your gardening. How did you get into it? What are you gardening? How is it going?
The garden was kind of a fail.
Oh no.
But I tried. I tried to grow some vegetables and I got one carrot out of the whole season.
That's one carrot. It's one more than you had when you started.
I know. I tried something new and it probably won't come back next summer, but that's okay.
Well, I don't have an especially green thumb. I tried to grow some herbs and they withered and died very quickly. So I understand.
Yeah.
I also feel like it's the, not to say it's the journey, not the destination, but it's kind of like the act of gardening that did you find that at all soothing, or were you like hoping, was the outcome the thing that you were seeking joy in?
I found it soothing at the beginning. And then once stuff started dying, it wasn't soothing anymore. It was more annoying, I guess. But it was a fun experience, something I've never done before. So I'm happy I was able to try it.
Let's talk about a daily self-care practice that you have. I forgot to ask that first, but we would love to know one thing that you do every day that is part of how you take care of yourself.
Yeah. I swim in the mornings, and when I come home from swimming, I usually take, after I shower and stuff, I usually take an Epsom salt bath. Mm-hmm. And if it was a really hard practice, if I'm feeling really exhausted, I'll sit there with a face mask on every morning.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Oh, wait, hold on. So you take a shower and then you get in an Epsom salt bath?
Yes.
Do you rinse the Epsom salt off after? This is very specific, I realize, but I'm curious about this.
I do not.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. I had a friend who was like very into salt baths, but then she would always shower to get the salt off, and that felt like way too much effort.
I've never heard of that. That's interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Well, don't start. You don't need to. Is the Epsom salt bath like, is it time for you to relax, or is it also like a physical muscle relaxing thing, or is it just kind of like what you need to just then start the rest of your day?
I'd say it's kind of both. It's a good physical training recovery tool I use. But it's also just nice to, you know, lay in a bath completely quiet, and essentially restart my day, which is really helpful for me.
I have some questions about swimmer self-care. I was a competitive swimmer as a child, and through high school, I was not especially good, but I enjoyed it. But I always felt like my skin was so dry and my hair like never really didn't smell like chlorine. And I'm curious, like, what shampoo and conditioner do you use? What moisturizer do you use? Are there other things that you use to kind of like get the pool off of you? Is your Epsom salt bath part of that?
Yes. So I love beauty things, you know, natural beauty care, all that kind of stuff. But it kind of goes out the window being a swimmer, just because your hair is always wet and you smell like chlorine. I use the shampoo from Aveda, the sun care, and that helps strip the chlorine out of your hair. Mm. And then I use a Costco brand conditioner because I use a ton of conditioner in my hair. And then I use CeraVe lotion, and I go through tubs of that pretty regularly.
I feel like you just said like three of my favorite words.
Yeah, I know. I was like, you're speaking Kate's language.
Oh, did you say Costco brand Kirkland hair conditioner?
Yes, it's lovely.
And wait, is CeraVe, is it your face moisturizer, or is that like a body slathering thing after post-pool stuff?
Well, it's their moisturizing cream, and my face can get so dry sometimes that I put it on my face too.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, being in chlorine every day, that has to take some sort of like toll on the hair and the skin, right? I mean, is it?
Yeah, it does. It's super drying for your skin, and it kind of burns off all your like arm hair and all that kind of stuff. And my hair's a little bit thinner usually when I'm training full time than when, you know, during Christmas when I'll take a week or so off.
Oh, that's interesting.
You wrote into us, Sophia, and you were looking for sunscreen.
Yes.
Did you find, and you had specifications because you're in Colorado, it's really dry. You're at high elevation so that you're closer to these UV rays, but you were also looking for something that is cruelty-free, non-toxic, no parabens, and also hydrating.
Yes,
Did you find anything?
Dory recommended the Bioessence, and I bought that, and I love that stuff. That's been my experiment, and it's been a complete success for sure.
Now, have you also found the other thing you were looking for, which was a super hydrating face lotion?
I've just been using CeraVe.
Okay. CeraVe. It always comes back to CeraVe, Dory.
Kate, I just want to say something about that Bioessence sunscreen that I recommended to Sophia. So Bioessence actually, they changed the formula of their mineral face sunscreen, and it's so much better.
Oh.
Like, it used to be good, but I felt like it was very thick and left, like it sometimes left a little, like a hint of a white cast. And their new formulation is thinner and goes on super smooth. So I'm a big fan.
Okay, maybe I'll try that. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Highly recommend.
Well, a super hydrating moisturizing face cream that is also cruelty-free, no paraben sulfates, I feel like I want to think more on that one. I mean, CeraVe is great, but I don't know if CeraVe is technically cruelty-free. Is it, Dory?
I believe they have parabens.
Yeah. My big thing was the sunscreen just because, especially in the summer, I was out for most of the day, and I didn't like the white cast or that chemical, you know, the Dirty Dozen on my face. So still in kind of a search for a face lotion cream, but love the sunscreen.
Can you talk about, I was reading an article or an interview with you rather, and you mentioned that you had been swimming in the local river near where you live.
Oh, yes.
Which I thought was really interesting, like this kind of being in this like a kind of intense natural environment every day. I would love to know just what that experience was like, why you decided to train that way. If there was any sort of like emotional experience getting to just like be in a river all day, or if it's like strictly just like I'm getting a workout.
Yeah. I actually wouldn't say it was much of a workout. It was more I was kind of, you know, dawdling around my house during the pandemic looking for exercise. And my boyfriend was like, why don't we try and swim in the river? Because it was hot enough that I wouldn't get super cold, and I had a full body wetsuit. And I looked at him and I thought he was the craziest person in the world. Because swimming in a pool is completely different from swimming open water, let alone a river. And so we went down there, and there's dogs jumping in, there's boats going by. And so he sat on the rocks and kind of was my lifeguard. And I got into the current and it would rip me down, and then I'd swim back in an eddy, which is calm water, essentially off of the rapid. So it was more just getting out of my comfort zone and doing something that all honestly scared me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it was really good. It was fun, invigorating. So, but I wasn't getting a workout. I wasn't staying in long enough for it.
Go ahead.
No, please. I was just going to say, it sounds scary. Like, scary is the wrong word, but just kind of like, I don't know.
Scary.
Okay, good. Okay. Makes me feel scared.
You mentioned your boyfriend, and I wanted to ask, he is also on a Paralympics team for cycling. And I'm wondering, did you meet through the Paralympics? What's it like dating a fellow competitive athlete?
Yeah.
I'm just kind of curious about that.
We met at the Olympic and Paralympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. And it's good dating another competitive athlete. I think I would need that, or I do need that. But everything in our family relationship is competitive. There's not a ton of compassion. It's always who's going to be the best and win.
Can you give me like some examples of how that manifests in your personal life?
Yeah, we go fishing, and he's a fly fisherman. And there was no nice teaching me. It was, you know, you're going to catch the biggest fish in this river, and if you lose it, it's going to be a sad drive home. We try and play like board games, and it's always very competitive. But it's really good. I think I definitely needed that too throughout the pandemic. He really pushed me to find some sort of exercise to keep me motivated and, you know, mentally healthy in that aspect.
Yeah.
What was it like dealing with kind of emotionally dealing with the news that the games were canceled this summer? They've been postponed to 2021. I mean, I imagine like you're training and working so intensely for this thing, and then to kind of have it all change so quickly, I imagine it being like just like throwing me into kind of a tailspin. I'm curious how you felt about it and how you've handled it.
Yeah. It was a really hard 72 hours. Cause the news was leaked before it became official. So I was, you know, getting on social media and I was seeing all these trustworthy, you know, news companies, you know, saying the games have been, it wasn't even postponed at that point, but there was going to be no games this summer. And that was, you know, really hard to stomach, and, you know, nobody could give us answers. And then a day or so later, it came out that it was postponed. And it was a sigh of relief. At that point, I wasn't really training. My pool shut down, and it was just nice to be able to take a complete step back and, you know, not relax, but not be stressed out about having to figure out how to train, because trials is a month away and I wasn't swimming the way I needed to be swimming. But it was definitely a hard 72 hours to stomach, because I was going to retire this year after the game.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of like, oh, am I going to go another year or am I just going to call it? But I've decided to go another year for sure.
What do you think is next for you after swimming?
Yes, I'm in that process of figuring it out. It's kind of interesting being a professional athlete. It's like this hyper focus of all that matters is the games next year.
Yeah.
And everything else is secondary. So I'm kind of just trying to focus on the games. And then once that's over, take some time and figure out what I want to do. But I have a degree in business communication, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's exciting. But also, I hear you in that you can't really think about that right now. You have other things to think about. you were the first person in your entire town to go through the school system with a disability. And I guess we should qualify that by saying you did grow up in a very small town, but still. So what was that like, and how did it shape the trajectory of your life and career?
Yeah, I grew up in a town of 500 people. And it was really interesting. Every year I had to go into the school before school started, and I think they're called 504 plans. So, you know, I walk through the school with the principal and stuff and make sure I can reach everything and everything's accessible. Cause I stand fully grown at 4 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't treated any differently, growing up, especially in my family. I was pushed pretty hard academically and through sports as well. I was bullied through high school. So that really shot me into graduating a year early from high school and moving to the Olympic and Paralympic Training Center, just to get my swimming career started.
Did you swim on the high school team in high school?
My school didn't have a swim team, so I swam for another high school about an hour or so away.
Gotcha. Wow.
And how do you, this is such a dumb person who doesn't understand professional sports questions. How do you make the leap from swimming and like competitive swimming in high school to knowing or being good enough to qualify or to train at the Paralympics and Olympics Training Center?
Yeah. I was in contact with that coach throughout my whole high school career. And he said if I was able to graduate high school year early, he'd save me a bed. So I was kind of an oddball where I wasn't showing at that time potential to be really great. But he saw that if he gave me a good situation, I could show potential. But a normal situation is you post some good swimming times where colleges and or the Olympic Training Center will, you know, see your potential, your age, your training, and help you get to the next steps for sure.
That is very cool. Do you hold that over your very athletic family's head that you are the professional athlete?
Yes. My dad ran the Boston Marathon, so there's some big competitive athletic people in my family. But yes, it was a fun childhood, the way I grew up with that.
What is your relationship like with your parents now that you were raised in the super athletic, competitive family and then kind of came out at the top tier of what that can be? How do they support you, and what is your relationship like now as an adult with them?
It's really good. I think they should be very proud of what they've done, of how they pushed me to that level. I'm really close with my parents. I actually live like probably a 5-minute drive from them. So I was really grateful for the way they raised me in that aspect.
Sophia, you mentioned bullying in high school, and I know you volunteer with Classroom Champions that, from what I've read, seems to really focus on social health amongst kids. And I would love to know your thoughts, especially for the adults listening who may have children experiencing, you know, or may know children that might not be their children that they parent, but who are experiencing bullying. As a person who's gone through that themselves, what have you kind of taken away for how to change our perspective and how to support kids going through something like that?
Yeah. So I was bullied kind of in a weird way, I guess you'll call it, isolation. So I'd go to school and, you know, no one would talk to me. And I'd come home and I'd be really upset, and my mom would be like, you know, Sophie, high school's just 4 years, you know, you just got to get through this. And so she really tried to highlight what the light of the tunnel was. You know, this is just a small part in the bigger picture. and it's going to really suck to go to school for 8 hours and not get talked to, but you're going to come home to a loving family. You know, you get to do what you love out of school on the weekends. And once you're done with school, you know, you're going to go find people that love you for who you are and love you for what you want to do and do the same things. And it's going to get a lot better. People said that in middle school about high school, and that was kind of wrong, I thought. High school was the same thing. Mm-hmm. So just, I guess I'd recommend really focusing that light that it's just a small part in our lives. And once high school's over, you know, you get to go to college or get a job or do whatever you want and be surrounded with the people that you want to be surrounded with.
Yeah, it's so hard when you're in it, though, to be able to see that light. So that's a really good reminder.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you are 4 feet tall. You're fully grown at 4 feet tall. And I'm wondering, where do you shop for clothes?
Oh, that's such a good question. I love clothes shopping. I do a ton of my shopping at Lululemon. Two main reasons is they do free alterations.
Oh.
And I'm an athlete, so I pretty much live in sweatpants.
Mm-hmm.
So I love them quite a bit.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, free alterations is, I didn't realize that they did that.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think about altering athleisure, but of course, why shouldn't you be able to alter athleisure? So that's a really good point.
Yeah, it's nice to have, you know, long sleeves and leggings that I don't have to roll the sleeves and stuff.
Yeah.
So you are physically incredibly active. I feel like the pressure of your career is really intense. How do you, like, what do you do to, I mean, I know you mentioned gardening and I know you mentioned your dog. Are those the things you look to relax? And with such a competitive relationship, how do you and your partner relax together? Or maybe competition is relaxing.
Good question.
That's a good question. I think another good thing about our relationship is he completely understands like what I'm going through. You know, my sport is my profession. So the way I compete and perform on a given day is, you know, our paycheck, essentially.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pressure and, you know, having an A game every single time I perform, which, you know, obviously sometimes doesn't happen. But he is really compassionate in that aspect, as he knows, you know, the mental struggles and obviously physical struggles that I go through in that. And he can really comfort me in that level when I perform and it doesn't go the way I was expecting or needing it to. And then, yeah, I guess we adopted a dog this summer, and we were supposed to adopt him after the games. But once the games got postponed, that was my big push, was I was kind of lonely throughout the day when I'm recovering. And so the dog brings a lot of joy. And it's a nice way to not focus on swimming and what I need to do and all that kind of stuff.
Having a partner that gets you, I feel like, is dare I say, self-care.
Yeah.
And will you both be going to the Paralympics next year?
So he actually recently retired from professional cycling. He is doing it more on a club level, so he won't go to the Paralympics next year. It was kind of, we were at a point in our lives where we needed to move away from the Olympic Training Center. And with that happening, it was going to be one of us competing still. And I'm in a pretty good shot for a medal right now. Knock on wood. So I'm going to keep swimming, and he got a job and is supporting us in bikes he was supposed to bike on a regional team this year.
Well, I know it's a year away, But we will be tuning in and rooting for you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I mean, it is so, I don't know. I think it's so cool and very excited for you to win all the medals. No pressure, Sophia. Please win one for us.
Thank you.
Can you tell our listeners where they can find you on social media? And also, I noticed that you do something really cool with Airbnb. If people are interested, they might want to check that out as well.
I do. So Airbnb partnered with Team USA and Experiences, and I do a workout class for 45 minutes on their online experiences. So you can work out with me from your living room. And then on Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Sophia Herzog. And then Facebook, just Sophia Herzog.
Well, thank you so much, Sophia. It was such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. It was pleasure's all mine.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Oh. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. And you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
All right. Well, Dory, I think we both really loved getting to talk to Sophia. It was really fun. It was really fun getting to connect with someone who's a listener.
Totally. Totally.
Who's also
so cool.
So freaking accomplished.
Yes.
And so
she's amazing. Like, and so young. We both were like, oh, she's really young.
Well, and isn't it so interesting, like going through, listening to her talk about retiring and that thought process, to have to consider ending a career that has also been like your life's work at such a young age is such a fascinating thing to think about, and must have its just come with its own emotional challenges. Like, I can't imagine.
I totally agree. Yeah, to think about like retiring at that age.
Yeah. And then essentially starting your second, whatever next step is.
Totally.
Well, I'm excited to root for her next summer.
Oh, me too. It's going to be very cool.
So,
all right.
Let's get into this intention zone, because you had intended to make another challah.
I did. And then my Friday just got very hectic and I did not make a challah. So perhaps I will make one this Friday.
I was going to say, are you still thinking about incorporating it into like your kind of weekly routine or as
I am.
Okay, you are. Okay.
Yeah. It was just that this past Friday turned out to be very hectic for a number of reasons. And I just, the times that I would need to be home to like tend to it, it just didn't end up working out.
Yeah.
And so I did not do it. Alas. But this week, so I also just briefly, I thought that I was going to be working on my book this week, but I'm actually not going to be working on revisions until next week. And so I have this week where I have like podcast stuff to do, but I don't have book stuff to do. And so after services this morning, I went on a sort of like decluttering spree and it was very successful. And this week I want to declutter the rest of the house and the outdoor space, which is sort of looking like a junkyard. So that's my intention.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I know. That's a lot to get done.
It's a lot. But I was encouraged by what I did today. It was very satisfying. So
good work, Dori.
Hey, thanks.
What a start to the new year.
Oh, so true.
I don't know, just refreshing, getting rid of stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I sold some stuff on Poshmark.
You're always be selling. You are always selling. I'm so impressed by that.
You got to be ruthless.
I know. I feel like I just pile stuff up in a corner and then I'm like, well, I guess I'll keep it. It's been sitting here for 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, well. I hear that. And then, of course, you know, the bigger existential question is like, why did I have so much shit in the first place?
Uh-huh.
So like, how do I kind of dial that back and say, maybe this time next year, I won't have anything to sell because I won't have acquired so much crap.
Yep. What void am I filling with all this
exactly.
stuff? Yep.
So maybe that is my Jewish New Year intention. Anyway, did you schedule your mammogram?
I'm like halfway through scheduling my mammogram. I had to kind of go back and forth with the radiology people because they didn't have the correct referral thing.
Oh, so okay.
I'm on my way to scheduling my mammogram. I have to call back again tomorrow because the thing hadn't gone through today. But I'm doing it. And I scheduled an appointment with an orthopedic surgeon-y person to look at my tailbone because since falling on my tailbone, I've had all sorts of fun issues going on. So I did make that appointment as well. So I did try to doctor it up a bit today.
And how did that go?
Good. I mean, I don't know why it feels so like stressful to make a phone call and schedule something, but for some reason it's like so easy to put it off. But I'm glad about it. I'm really trying, you know, like I do feel like this year I've really started to reflect on like my health and taking care of my body in a way that's not about like appearance, but about like longevity, which I know is futile. You know, like I experienced like my mom getting a random cancer and dying when she was in great health. So like I know it's all a sham in many ways, but like I want to make sure I feel good and that like I'm getting stuff checked out. And certainly like, I know I'm kind of talking in circles. Obviously getting a mammogram is important. I'm just saying I don't believe we can like live forever and that like exercising will solve that. But it is nice. There are certain things that I'm trying to do just to kind of like, you know, like keep my cholesterol down.
Yeah.
I'm eating more fiber. I mean, I'm eating a Metamucil cracker right now, Dori. Like, this is true. I'm really entering the 40s, I feel like. But do you know what I mean about like wanting wanting to kind of care for yourself so that like you feel good and you can hopefully you're in the best chances of sticking around.
Totally.
You know? That's all. That's all I want. And then this, so I'll give another mammogram update next week, but I hope to have it scheduled tomorrow. And then this week, I want to find a way to reflect on, but also like jot down or just make it permanent, reflect on the gratitude that I'm having during all this tumultuousness. You know, I was like, my kids do this thing where they now shout that they're getting on their Zooms. Like, so they'll just be, they're each in their own bedroom and I'll just hear like, I'm getting on. So I had this moment where I was listening to them shout at me and I was like, you know, one day they won't be here doing school again. Like I won't have this weird time. And as crazy and hard and stressful as it is, like maybe one day I'm going to look back and miss these moments, you know, even though they're marked with such like grief and sorrow and so much sadness around us in the larger world. So I'm trying to kind of just take note of the moments that I appreciate during this time. Like, when else do I get to go in and stare at my kid while they're in school?
Yeah. I had a kind of similar moment with Henry the other day where he was just, when he was like toddling around the driveway. And I was like, oh, like, I'm not going to get to be home with him again.
Yeah.
Ever, probably. And like, I got kind of sad.
Yeah.
I hear you.
It's weird that sadness. I don't know what it is. It's own special kind of sadness, the marking the passing of time like that. Well, sorry to end on a sad note. Or like a happy sad.
No, yeah, it's a happy sad.
Nostalgic, weepy. I don't know. I'll stop. Anyway, I'm grateful. One thing I'm very grateful for is getting to talk to you during the week, because truly this was the pick-me-up I needed.
Same.
So I appreciate you. I appreciate the people listen to this, because I feel like I say this every week, but woof, do I need to do this podcast right now?
Well,
Dory, so many good moans that just came out of you right there. Just a whole series.
Thank you. That's how I feel.
Well, here it is. Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and me, Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by the one and only Sammy Junio. And Sam Reed is our project manager, and our network partner is Acast. And we thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.